wife saw a picture of the Ohio State fans in wrong.
No. Title of the message tonight is Back to the Drawing Board. And it's really on my heart to talk to you about the things that we're going to talk about tonight. I'm going to do my very, very best to stay as short as I can. But there's one thought I want to give you tonight more than anything else, as we have got to get back to the drawing board in our lives. So let's have a word of prayer, and I'll get right after it. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity to preach. Lord, I don't know why that you called me to do this, but Lord, I'm sure thankful that you did. Lord, help us as a church in times of uneasiness and times of unsettledness in this world. Help this church to go forward. Help this church to stand strong, even through some of the certain turmoil we're going to face as Satan gets more and more powerful. Lord, help us. Lord, always my prayer before I preach, Lord, help me to decrease and help you to increase. We sure do love you tonight, Lord. Help us to love you more. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please grab your Bibles tonight. Let's all stand. I'm going to read John chapter 6, just one verse. It won't take long. John chapter 6, verse 44. The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at that last day." Let's pray one more time. Dear Lord, thank you again for this opportunity. Be with me, Lord. Speak through me tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Can you remember, I was thinking about this when I was preparing this message, can you remember the day that you got saved? Can you remember the feeling that you had back in that day? Can you remember the burden that was lifted the day that you were saved? Can you remember the feeling that overcame you of joy, knowing that your eternal destination had traded addresses from hell to heaven forever? Can you remember that day? That was the day that the Father drew you to Him. Thankfully, you answered the call that day. Thankfully, you said amen, and He brought you in. Thankfully, the Lord was not reserved about bringing you in. Thankfully, the Lord did not check your credentials before bringing you in. Thankfully, the Lord did not review your history before bringing you into His fold. He just went ahead and brought you in. What a wonderful feeling that was. As we get older, where does the feeling go? Churches are falling apart all across America because they can't get back to that place where they were drawn. Now, folks, I want you to get this. I know this is a play on words, back to the drawing board. But, folks, if you could take yourself back, Brother Eddie, if you could take yourself back that day to when you accepted the Lord as your Savior, how much easier would life be? Forget everything that's happening out around us. Forget all the things. And I'm thankful that we know about Israel. I'm thankful that we have a preacher that keeps us up to date. But throw everything outside of this world. If you could get yourself back to the drawing board, to that single day when Jesus Christ brought you into the fold, to that single day when you realized that your sins were forgiven, to that single day that you realized that burden was lifted off your heart, how much more forward to each day would you look? And how much more trivial would the things of this world become when you realize that the only thing that truly matters in your life is Jesus Christ? Do you realize that the only thing that matters in this world today, I don't care how important you say things are, the only thing that matters, and it always has been this way, it's never changed, the only thing that matters is Christ. How simple should our lives be? How simple? If we could just get ourselves to go back to the day, just go back to that step one. Just go back to that square one. Yes, I know. I've become a mature Christian throughout these last years. I just don't need Christ like I used to need him. How often have you heard that? How often has you seen somebody, a brand new salvation preacher, where they say, oh, I can't wait to serve God. I can't wait to do things for God. I can't wait to be here. I can't wait to be there. They don't care about the Mutual Admiration Society. Remember that? Brother King, I love that. That was one of my favorite things. Yeah, I'm good, you're good. Let's preach about God. Amen. I like that. Let's just preach about God. I would love to get back to the part where being thanked by a person didn't matter. I would love to get back to a part where you serving Christ was the only thing that was on your mind. Because he did so much for you. How soon do we forget as Christians? We walk away 10, 15, 20, sometimes even less than that, years down the road. We walk away from Christ, realizing, yes, I am saved. Yes, I go to church. But the motions become so simple. They become so dreary and so everyday. How many times do we get ourselves into a rut of everyday shifting of gears in our life where church becomes just another day of the week? I say we get back to the drawing board.
Yeah. Amen.
I say we get back to the spot where we realize that Christ loves us so much.
Amen.
I say we get back to the spot where we remember what Christ has done for us old sinners. Yeah. I'm teaching over in my Sunday school class right now. Seeking God. See, Brother Carl, because you're so mature in Christ, you're one of my heroes. I love you with all my heart. But just because you're that does not mean that you need to stop seeking God. As much as preacher knows about the scripture, there should never be a time when he stops seeking God.
I agree.
No matter how new you are as a Christian, Brother Andrew, never let there be a time when you don't seek out Christ.
Yes.
The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. See, how many times do we really let him direct all of our paths? Sometimes through life, the path is easy. Are we still letting him direct? See, because sometimes we become so complacent. Well, I've got a great job. I'm making lots of money. Things are going well for me right now. I don't need Christ. How many times do you look for him when your pathway's easy? We praise Christ when things are at their greatest, at least for a while. Don't let the great days that Christ has given you become commonplace.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get to you. Go back to that day when he drew you. Question for you. When's the last time you really felt? Don't answer me, please. When's the last time? I'm talking about an emotional thing, preacher. I'm not talking about a feeling thing in your spirit. I'm talking about when's the last time you knew that you knew that you knew that Jesus Christ was telling you something that you ought to do?
Yeah.
I've got news for you, folks. Along the way, somewhere in every person's life, bar none, Jesus has tried to call them. Has tried to draw them. There's not one person that has not had the phone call given to them. But so few pick it up. The question is, when's the last time that your phone rang and you just don't remember the last time you got a call? When's the last time that Jesus put something on your heart and you just went ahead and did it? Not because you wanted a great accolade, not because you cared about what people thought about you, not to impress the neighbors. You did it because that's what Christ asked you. Down in your gut, you knew Christ is asking you to do something.
Yeah.
Let's get back to those days. Let's get back to the days where our only hope is to serve Christ, move forward, and serve him with all of our heart.
Yeah.
Let's go back to those days where it didn't matter what in the world happened to you. I don't care. I just want to serve Christ.
Yeah.
You say, I don't know. I can't find the will of God from it. I don't know how to do that. The Bible says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we've got to learn in our lives, no matter how far along you are as Christians, no matter how new you are, you've got to seek him now. Saved or unsaved, you've got to seek him now. You've got to seek Christ while he may be found. In our Christian life, it's so soon to get lost in the world. I'm going to tell you right now, preacher, the reason that churches are falling apart is because
not because I really don't believe it's from outside influence. I'm with you. I think it's from within.
Right.
I think for a moment in time in a Christian's life, they're probably even bigger than they ought to be. Hold on to this, folks. This may not be pretty to your ears, but it's what's on my heart. I've got to tell you.
Amen.
I got to tell you what's on my heart tonight. And what's on my heart tonight is you're not big enough to not be Christ.
Yeah.
You're not big enough. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough to not need Christ.
Yeah.
You're not far enough along the scriptures, preacher, to not need Christ.
Right.
You're not a good enough singer, Debbie, to not need Christ.
Right.
You're not a smart enough man to not need Christ, Robert.
Yeah.
Every single one of us has got to realize somewhere along the line that we need Christ every day. I told my class today, I think it would be absolutely hilarious if Christ advertised in the paper that he's going to shut off the air for 2 minutes on the next day. Could you imagine the people scattering, trying to find oxygen tanks? And if they really believe that Christ, I would love just 1 minute. Boom, Christ, turn the air off. Hey, by him all things consist.
That's right.
We need him in every part of our life, babe. Every ounce of our life, Tammy, we need him. Well, my life's not going good. Did you ever think it might not be Christ's fault?
Amen.
We blame God for a lot of stuff.
Right.
We blame, why did you do this to me, God? It's the last time you talked to him in 20 months. You can't wait for something to happen in your life bad so you blame God. Well, at least he's talking to you. Maybe that's why anything bad happened to you. Because at least we're talking then. I mean, hey, well, my life fell out. I lost my dog. My money's all run out. All these bad things are happening to you. You ever think that maybe Christ is trying to get you here? Did you ever think for one moment that Christ is trying to move your heart to go back to the drawing board?
Yeah.
Did you ever think that one moment Christ might be asking you, Myrtle, I need to talk with you. Get down on your knees for me and literally come back to where you once were.
Yeah.
If you're really saved today, there was a time you were there. It doesn't matter who you are. There was a time, if you got saved and realized how much of a lost sinner you were, you remember that day. Oh, man. I understand why the people that talk about losing their salvation talk about it. Because it'd be daily for me. It would be. I mess up every day, Annie. Every day. And if you'd be honest with yourself, you do too.
Yeah. Right.
If you'd be honest with yourself, you'd realize how much of a dirty, rotten, no good sinner you are and realize how much you need to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
Go back to that spot where Christ drew you to himself. And how much at your salvation you couldn't wait to draw yourself to him. I mean, I'm telling you right now, if Christ would have appeared to you at the day of your salvation, don't tell me you wouldn't have grabbed a hold of him. Don't tell me you wouldn't have said, oh, Lord, I can't believe you did this for me. Not, oh, Lord, I can't believe you're doing this to me.
Yeah.
Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, this is good stuff. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. I noticed a few things there. That verse starts out with, let us draw near. Well, Lizzie, if you have to draw near, where were you? Folks, if you had to draw near, you must not have been near before you started to draw. If you have to draw somewhere, that means you were somewhere else before you started. How many of us in here today with a raised hand don't do it? How many could say, I just don't feel close to God anymore? How many could say that I don't know the last time I really petitioned God for something? How many could say I don't know the last time God spoke to me? Whose fault is it
I noticed, let us draw near. Look at the next thing, with a true heart. In this world today, everything is revolving around what you can get for you. It's not about what you can help other people to get or what you can do for others anymore. Today is literally about, number one, you got to do for whatever you can do for you. Nobody else cares about you. I got news for you. I believe I'm in a church today that cares about the people that walk through this door. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that my preacher has taught me to care for people, have compassion for people. And let me tell you something. That wasn't easy for Brother Dave to learn. It wasn't easy for me to learn compassion. It wasn't easy for me to learn love. Some people come real easy. It wasn't easy for me. Brother Carl, I wrote off many people in the beginning. I wrote them off. It wasn't easy for me to learn compassion. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'd never have it any other way. Knowing now, if I could go back, I'd right so many wrongs. See, folks, in that moment in time, I was not near Christ. I was far. And just because you're a deacon of this church, Brother Carl, does not make you close to God. Just because he's the pastor of this church does not make him close to God.
Right.
Pastors don't have an electric line right to God. He's a man,
right,
just like everyone else. And I'm glad that my man of God speaks Christ. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if we miss out on the drawing board, Rod, if we miss out on drawing close to him, we can't do anything right over here. How is this possible? If you're not near to Christ, who needs acknowledgement of everything you do to direct your path, how is it possible to do right here when you're way back here? How is that possible? Blind squirrel finding a nut, are we going to rely on that? We've got to realize in our lives we need Christ in every aspect. And we need to come to him with a pure heart.
Yeah.
Realizing, let me purify your heart real quick. If you realize who you are, you can realize a lot easier what they are.
Right.
Grab a hold of that now. Myrtle, I'm a preacher. Don't know why, but I'm a preacher. Glad I am. You know how different I am from you? I'm not. I'm a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
That's the common bond we have. We're sinners. Say every last one of us.
Right.
Well, I'm closer to God than you. You've got a problem if you start thinking that way.
Yeah, boy.
See, the person that gets closer to God, Annie, realizes how far away they really are.
Yeah.
You've got to grab a hold of that, too. The closer you get to God, the further away you realize you are. The more you get close to his holiness, the more unholy you realize you are. And when you get into all that, you say, oh, Lord, good night, I'm so guilty. Oh, Lord, guess where you are? You're back to the drawing board.
Amen.
Because that's the state you were in when he called you.
Yeah.
That's the state you were in when you realized you needed him.
Yeah.
And when you get to that point, Christ can say, you know what? I'm going to take you right with me. Because
yep.
That's the kind of person I can use. Glory to God.
Amen.
Because if he could only use the good ones, he'd only been able to use his son.
Yeah, right. Right.
With a true heart. In full assurance of faith. We don't have a hope, so we've got to know so. Full assurance of our faith. Having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. That's the easiest thing to get into today. In this day and age. I believe any other lifetime, any dispensation of time, whatever time you go back, I believe today it's easier to get an evil conscience than it ever has been ever. We faced more. Oh, my. We literally. I'm so thankful that Eddie came here because I don't want that job anymore. Watching over you kids. The heartbreak. The evilness that is so easy to access today. And by the way, adults are not immune.
You're right.
You adults ought to watch what you do, too.
Amen.
I adult. Me ought to watch what I do. It's so easy to have an evil heart and to have an evil conscience about yourself. It's so easy to get involved in the world. Well, bless God, Carl did this to me. I don't know that I like him anymore. I've got news for you. If Brother Carl lost a friend every time he made somebody mad, he'd be lonely. And he don't make many people mad. If I lost a friend every time, which sometimes you do, you know what? I believe in this church, nobody plans on hurting anybody.
Right.
But it does happen. So if it happens to you, sprinkle your heart from that evil conscience that you're feeling
and have a heart to forgive.
Yes.
A heart to care.
Yes.
A heart to love. Because, Pastor, if they would have cared and loved that man of God in Toledo,
yes,
and sprinkled their heart from an evil conscience,
right,
that church would have been restored. See, folks, a church is not a man of God and a bunch of people. A church is all people working together, under a shepherd, but working together in a common goal.
Yes.
Not one can be off and one on. We've got to all be together to this common goal. And the way we can do that is realizing who we are by getting back to who we were and understanding that we've got to get back to that drawing board. We've got to get back to that first day.
Yes.
If we can get ourselves back there, it'll help us to get up there.
Amen.
Look at this next part of this next verse. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke. You got to see this, folks. I believe that if we could get a hold of this, it would revolutionize our life. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us consider one another. Let us consider how it might feel to Jeannie Knight. Let us consider how it might feel to Tammy Archer and Annie Saylor and Tammy Lemley. Let us consider that and provoke each other to love and to care for each other. I'm not talking about a sissy type of running around and hugging each other purpley kind of love. I'm talking about Christ love.
Yeah.
The way he cared for you when you were dirty and unclean. Back at that drawing board when he cared for you.
Yeah.
When you were nothing for him.
Yeah.
Today we're something for him as a church moving forward. But we've got to stay back here, realizing where we've come from. Because if I realize who I am, Eddie, it's a whole lot easier to love you. If you realize who I am, you'll have a whole lot easier time loving me if you realize who you are.
Right.
How can I point out pastor's faults when I'm loaded with them? Hold that now. How can I point out Sean Browning's faults when I'm so full of them, I can't get my finger past to point?
Yeah.
When you were getting saved on your drawing board, you weren't thinking about anybody else.
That's right.
You weren't thinking about it. Your fingers weren't pointing to anybody but you. I'm undone. I'm unclean. I need you. But once you get saved and you're around for a little while, you are bad. You are bad. You are. Your fingers get off from here and go out to there.
Yeah.
Yes, sometimes people do things wrong. Yes. But I got news for you. Sometimes you do things wrong. And we've got to understand that we've got to get back to that place. That place where the only most important thing to you was Christ. Brother Perry told me, preacher, that if we could dwell on the love of Christ, a whole lot would get forgotten.
Yes.
Man, is that true? If we would just dwell back on our drawing board where the love of Christ was the only thing on our mind, how much easier would your life have been? Or would your life be? Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 32, I love this. But call to remembrance the former days. That's your drawing board. Call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. How many went through that? You got saved and then you had a lot of afflictions come. Don't forget those days, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. In other words, you started going around with church folk. Well, you're a Bible thumper now. Got made fun of a little bit. You're a gazing stock. I don't know if I like this Christianity. They don't take too kindly to my tattoos, or they don't look too kindly upon my long hair, or they don't look too kindly upon my pierced ears. I got news for you. Let Christ clean that up. You worry about you. You're made a gazing stock. You got saved. You're made a gazing stock. You went through those afflictions, but you did make it through. Amen?
Yeah.
For you had compassion. Oh, get this. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. If we don't forget where we've come from, we'll go a whole lot further for Christ than we would if we do forget.
I'm a preacher. I used to be a drunkard. Many of you have heard my testimony. Last night I drank. Crazy. I can't believe God would use me. I can't believe it. I used to have a sailor's tongue. First of the sailor. The F word was my favorite. Gross. Sick. Terrible. Hair down in the middle of my back. Earring in my ear. And you know what that makes me? A sinner. Saved by grace. See, just because I've come from there does not mean here is any better. You got to hold this now. Yes, it's better for me to be a preacher. Understand, it's better for me this way. I understand that. But it doesn't make me a better person. I'm still a sinner saved by grace. All my own righteousness is filthy rags. Only what Christ has done for me is what makes it great. Only what Christ has done through you is worth anything. Not what you've done. What Christ has done. When's the last time you tapped into that? When's the last time you did something for Christ, going back to your drawing board and realizing that what you're doing for yourself is of no avail, but only what you do for Christ matters? Turn to James chapter 4. I'm going to read you this verse, and then I'm going to give you an illustration, and I'm all done. James chapter 4, verse 8. Everybody knows this verse. Draw nigh to God. Go back to your drawing board. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Understanding that this verse is telling you that you are not drawing to Him now, because it's asking you to draw. Amen? You see that? Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. But you gotta draw. Go back to your drawing board. You gotta do this. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I'm a Christian here. I'm worldly out there. That's double-minded. You can't love somebody to their face and hate them behind their back. It's double-minded. Christ wants you to clean your heart from that and draw nigh to Him, and He will draw nigh to you. Turn over to John 4:11. I love this. Samaritan woman. Everybody knows the story. Samaritan woman. Jesus comes to her, asks her for a drink of water. He offers her living water. Amen? Amen. She's at her drawing board. Saith the woman of Samaria, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. She didn't know he was God. He deals with everybody. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. I love this next part. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. You have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. And you don't have a bucket. The well is deep. You don't have a bucket, Lord. Get a hold of this and I'm all done. Christ stood there. He stood there talking to a woman who this woman thought, there's no way this man would talk to me. I'm filth to him. By the way, that's her drawing board and that's also your drawing board. There's no way that Christ would talk to you. You're filth. But he comes to you and says, hey, I'm going to draw you living water. But Lord, you have nothing to draw with. The well of forgiving me is deep. Oh, there's, Lord, you'll have to lift up buckets for months to forgive me of my sin. You have nothing to draw with. If you were in a pool of water, I just want you to put a thought in your head. If you're in a pool of water and you don't have a bucket, but you're real thirsty, how are you going to get a drink? He puts his hands down. He dips them in the water, the living water, and he offers it to every one of you freely. He says, here, here. Yeah, I know you're a saved person. I understand that. But this is a well that bubbles over. This is a well that isn't just for now. This is a well that lasts for eternity, because if you never thirst again, that means you're never thirsty again. Amen? And if you're never thirsty again, that means this water never goes away. The water's there, brother, but sometimes we're not.
Wednesday night. The decision isn't for next Sunday. The decision is tonight. Will you come back to your drawing board and realize how much you need Christ? Because he stands there with his nail-pierced hands. And he says, please come. Please come back to me, Bethel Baptist Church. And you're a wonderful church. But it would be foolish of us to think, preacher, that this church is never going to go through things. Right. It'd be foolish of us to think that the people of this church are never going to go through things.
Right.
See, Christ used to be real. Folks, I'm not making things up for you. Christ used to be real. But we get saved, and sometimes you forget how real he is. The reality of life, Stephanie, sets in. The reality of your daily struggles sets in. And you realize that you're fighting a battle every day, fighting a battle, forgetting that Christ is right here in your corner. All you've got to do is come to him and say, Christ, you're going to have to go. I can't make it anymore. And you know where you just went? You still got your drawing board.
Right.
He drew, because you drew yourself to him. I have nothing to draw with. My Lord has something to draw with. And he wants you to come. He wants you to come back to him.
Yes.
He wants you to come back to your God. I'm preaching to save people here. I know that. But Christ wants you to come.
Yes.
Why are we in this rut? Why am I in this rut? Because you're facing the Lord alone. Because Brother Mike Porter taught me a rut is just a grave of knocked out ends. That's good stuff, isn't it? I wish you said that before. A rut is just a grave with knocked out ends. And if you're not growing, you're dying. And if you're dying, it's because you refuse to come to the living water. You refuse to draw yourself to him and let him draw himself to you. That's where it's at, folks. You want to get closer to God? Just go back to your drawing board. Realize where you come from. Realize where you're going. It'll make everything you're facing a whole lot easier. Because, hey, the Bible says we counted what is ahead of us far better than what's here with us. We count the rewards that we get in heaven far greater than the afflictions that we face today.
Yeah.
You want to get yourself out of the rut, fall. Draw yourself back to your drawing board. Go back to your start. It'll help you realize who you are. Help you to realize what they are. So we can all move forward together. Let's follow us.
Dear Lord, please help me, myself, to stay at my beginning, knowing where I came from, knowing what you helped me to be, knowing what you've done through me is all you and nothing of me. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to serve you, because it is an opportunity and a privilege to serve you. I'm so thankful for the opportunity. But Lord, don't ever take that out of my heart. Lord, help me to continuously look for you and to seek your face. Help me to always remember James 4:8 so I can draw nigh to you and you can draw nigh to me. Lord, be with me. Comfort me. Help me. Protect me. Put a hedge around me. Always be in the foremost parts of my mind. Because, Lord, if I'm thinking about you, the other things in this world just don't seem to matter. If I'm thinking about you, the world grows strangely dim and you become amazingly full of light. Thank you, Lord, for being so great. Help us to continue to serve you well here at Bethel. Heal up my pastor. Heal him up and keep him healthy from here on out to the rapture. I would to God we'd have our preacher to the rapture. Help us, Lord. We've prayed for this often, but Lord, heal him up. Please, be with us, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.